Welcome to another episode with Espresso Podcast. Today we have Bashir.
Bibi.
AKA Bibi. I don't know Bashir, and he doesn't know me. This is the first time we meet.
Nice to meet you, man.
Thank you so much for having
me. So I got to know you through Ahmed, who was the previous guest in the previous episode. I saw you had the quote, would you call it another quote? You had jack of all trades.
Oh, yeah. I'm a jack of all
trades. So you graduated as a computer science major.
So I did development, and then I started doing like education, worked in sales, retail, real estate, gym.
Pretty much everything.
I used to be a fitness salesman.
I used to be one of the best salesmen in that gym. Don't want to call them out, but yeah. And eventually I moved into gaming, which is something I was very passionate about since childhood. So I've been really loving it. Currently, I'm working for a company called Division. I'm their talent manager. And yeah, it's fun managing influencers, specifically in gaming, but it's fun to do that.
Is it though? No? That was the main topic of our...
It's very fun.
Like how many times have you wanted to like jump out of a window from dealing with an influencer, let's say?
I mean, it in the beginning, it was kind of weird because like, each person, you got to learn how they communicate, how they do things. Like, this guy prefers WhatsApp. This guy prefers emails, very professional. This guy's like, okay, let's go. This guy, you need to send him all the information. So you kind of want to study the people while you're doing your job. And as you do it more often, I think you kind of start learning the personalities, different personalities. And once you get to understand it, it's easy to kind of replicate around.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of, like everything in life, it's
a bit hard in the beginning, but as you get to know it, it becomes so easy.
Alhamdulillah, yani, nowadays we can legit have a good network of connections where I can get anyone onto any platform to do any brand deal. And yeah, this is something I'm very proud of.
This is why we have you here.
So if you're a creator, specifically in gaming or anything else, and you'd like to get in touch, so yeah, feel free to contact me and we can hook you up with a very nice brand deal, inshallah.
Good. So you said you started, where did it go for you from university afterwards?
So young BB started in school where I wanted to study programming, right? I knew I was a tech-savvy person. I had to do something with programming, right? Unfortunately, I got into my first year, found out programming is not as fun. And I was like, well, I'm not going to back out. Let's just do it, right? Obviously, I did the gaming aspect of it. So I did game development. And that was fun. That was really fun, like 3D modeling, animation, like doing games on Unity. And as I graduated, I had one dream. I wanted to work in Jagex, which is a company that built RuneScape, which is a game I've been playing for over 17 years.
I'm pretty sure anyone from our generation knows RuneScape.
So that was my plan.
I never actually played it for too long, but
I graduated,
I applied, got the job, didn't get the visa. I was like, my life is over. I'm going to cry.
Oh, damn, that's tough.
I did cry.
To get into the company that built your childhood game.
It's insane. I loved it.
It was a basic position, but like the fact that I was just going there, I had to travel to Cambridge and there was like a lot of visa issues and, you know, just moving over. My friends were like not as supportive of me moving to a new country completely and things like that. Even though in uni, I was still kind of like living alone, but I was kind of next door, you know, to buy a lane.
Yeah. There's a lot of attachment issues with our parents.
I know, and that's the Arabic mentality, I guess.
Yeah.
So that
my parents moved. Like, we were living in one city in Canada, and then they're like, okay, you're moving to Waterloo. Let's go. We'll all go. And I'm like,
I know parents who do
that. You're dragging your siblings. You're dragging everybody just for. I'm like,
I mean, let's take it as love. You know, they love you.
I'm not saying it's not love, but it's attachment issues.
It's there, pretty much.
Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. So I was kind of clueless what I was going to do. And then I decided, well, while I was at university, I used to like do side classes, right? For kids. I used to teach them different topics and stuff. And then I got an ad on Instagram for this company. And they were basically opening up an IT department to start teaching. They were like a music institute. And I started, I literally messed the IBM them. And I'm like, I'm the guy who's going to do this for you.
Okay.
And they love the confidence. They're like, okay, come, let's see who you are. First interview, nailed it, got the presentation done. I showed them like curriculums of shit I wrote in university. And they're like, oh, this guy is the one. And it's amazing and stuff. Got into the job. And as I was working with them, so I did business development with them and mainly curriculum development as well. Mm-hmm. And I would teach the trainers how to like teach kids as well. So I got there, but I was trying to kind of get them into the gaming aspect of things. Like, let's do a Fortnite tournament. At that time, Fortnite was like a big thing, which we did, and it was very successful. But they were always like, you know, always kind of...
So wait, they're music?
So they started as a music and dance industry, but then the dance thing didn't work out for them, so they were trying to do IT, which is in demand. Like, you know, as a private tutor back in the days, like anyone who's teaching coding, AI, things like that, is usually very popular in demand. It's like, oh, kid learning how to code Python, you know?
Yeah.
I used to do like robotics and stuff. We had like a nice curriculum with Lego. It was all like entertaining and fascinating.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't like the mentality, so I moved on. This is where like I started doing sales.
Mm-hmm.
I talk a lot. I can convince people. I can do, I can close deals very good. But sales was always like a thing that kind of pushed me back. And I'm like, well, my life depends on this guy getting convinced or not.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a matter of just convincing him. It was a matter of really believing in the product. Some things I didn't believe in. Some like industries I knew they were like just, you know, you have to convince it out of lies. And I don't like that immediately. If I feel like I don't see an end goal of anything I'm doing, I immediately just leave.
Yeah.
I always leave like good relationships with people, but it's like I'm not interested to keep doing something that I'm not interested to do. If you know what I'm saying? And then I worked for Funko.
Okay.
Funko Pops. Fun stuff. I love the company. We're still good friends. I actually hosted a couple of events together as well.
So they're based here. Like they have a...
So they have a distributor here.
Okay.
It's called Monkey Distribution. They're very good. Like these guys are pros in what they do. And I used to be a key account manager for them. I love the whole vibe they had and everything. They were like so solid and everything.
Mm.
But then I got the gaming job, which is the first talent management position. And I was like, bruh, I love you guys, but like, game. Okay? And
you bounced.
In a month, I was like, yellow, go. And this is where my journey started. So I got in and I started learning how to like contact the influencers, what to do. Okay, so this guy costs this much, the industry costs this much. Oh, he streams, he posts Twitter, he posts, you know, we want to start understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all in the back of my head. Like, I know how much this guy followers have, how much does he charge. And even if it's a new person to me, I would still be able to kind of have an accurate guess of how much it would cost, how much it like his reach would be. Because tell us, after you're in industry for a while, you kind of tend to know these things.
You get the hang of it.
Yeah. And yeah, that's what I do. So now we get like a brand deal campaigns. We start like drafting it, who would be on this campaign, what they're doing, what's their deliverables. And then we just get in there, put like the budgets that we estimate and...
Do you think your life walked in a straight line from university till today?
Of course not. Like, completely the opposite.
But do you think you had ups and downs or more ups or more downs?
So, ups and downs, ups and downs. I feel like it was balanced. So, I've had days where, like, it was really down, and I've had days where I was really up. So, like, let me give you an example. There was days where I was so worried about my next month's rent, and there was days where I'm living in a penthouse and just chilling.
Yeah.
Literally, to the both extremes, and obviously the days in between. So I feel like life is fun as it is, and at some points you're going to be really low, at some points you're going to be really high.
But it's just the way life goes.
It's just a matter of how your mentality adapts to. So when you're really high, you shouldn't take things for granted. I mean, you're really low, you shouldn't give up. So that's what I kind of advise everyone. If you're really low, just know that everything has an end, whether it's good or bad. So like the bad times will have an end, the good times will have an end. Just be ready for the next phase at lowest.
Yeah, I totally agree. I go into panic mode the second it's like...
I mean, nothing wrong
like, with I'd be panic. Doing well. I'm okay. Like, let's say I'm... And then it's just like panic mode. Because like, I'm not a place I were like last week, you know? And it's just like, shit, what can I do? What do I do, you know? But it's just a, I guess, coping mechanism of people.
I guess.
Depends on... each person.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. That just means you like stability.
I'm more of a spontaneous person.
I'm so unstable. Like, both sides of my jobs
are
unstable.
But you like stability.
Like, you prefer to have something stable. That's what I feel, at least.
No, a lot of people meet me and they're like, you really don't like to sit in one place, do you? Even
that's
my
different.
Parents know that.
That's
even
different.
My parents. No, but it's like the jobs as well. Mm. Even my parents know, like, because, so as everybody knows, whoever's watching and listening, I come from a medical background, let's say dentistry.
Smart
and
people.
I finished and everything. You think so, but now it's just about being cunning and trying to get money out of the patients, unfortunately. But overall, like, my parents have a business, they have a clinic and everything. And then the other day I was having a conversation with my mom and she was like, you really don't like to stay in one place. She was like, and this is where it came from, like where I come from, where I strongly think I can never work under someone.
I mean, that's also a good thing.
Yeah, like I'll work with people. I'll take comments and I'll take direction. But I will not do it every day.
You want to be the decision maker, maybe.
Yes, yeah.
Working on someone.
In a sense. But overall, I just don't see myself, like, and it's scary at the same time to wake up one day and be like, okay, I don't want to go to work today, you know?
It is.
And it's just like, okay, we need to go to work. But, yeah, so the thing is that, like, what Ahmed mentioned to me about your job is you handling people. So at the end of the day, you have people with numbers.
Definitely.
And the industry is all about numbers right now.
For the brands, yes.
Mostly. Yeah, for brands to get someone, they're going to look at numbers before they look at the actual quality of their delivering to some extent. There's a higher percentage going towards the numbers. What I want to hear a story about your worst experience.
Ooh.
Right. So usually when I put estimates, I kind of want to also confirm them to some extent. So there's managers as well in the industry. And we're pretty handful, like you can literally count those people in the industry. And sometimes I like to confirm my information, especially if I'm working with new people or people that I haven't contacted with before. And sometimes there's like really, really, really thin deadlines and you have to submit this today and stuff. And if you end up finding out like, oh, I missed this part of stuff, you know that you should like back it up somewhere else, right? Mm. So you want to like push this guy's social media somewhere or get a raid and stuff. And this is where I usually keep a buffer. But like in the beginning, I used to not do this as well. So like I would freak out if like, oh, we have to do this today and like, oops, well, or like one guy goes missing. So this is what happened to me. We had a campaign just recently. And one guy messages me just the day before the campaign starts. And there's an amount of people. And what they're doing is like they have to all meet up and play a game together.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy just messages like, I'm kind of scared. I don't want to do this anymore.
I thought he'd have a more legit reason.
That's like... literally it. I thought he had a more legit reason. Because I woke up, I'm seeing like this essay of him not wanting to do it. So I call the guy and he's not answering. A few hours later, I keep following
him. And
this
guy, like, mind you, this guy's getting paid, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But I don't know, he got cold feet, I guess.
Yeah.
And eventually I got, like, in touch with him and I told him, hey, what's wrong? And he told me, like, he's worried about us canceling on him and stuff. And I'm like, are you crazy? I'm the guy who got you. Like, I know what I got. And I want you to be a part of this. And he's like, no, but I'm worried about my performance and maybe you guys, like, I don't want to go. Like, he's like, I'm going to break up with you before you break up with me kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, bro, no one's breaking up with anyone. And I just talked him through it. I told him, like, it's okay, calm down, don't worry about it. And yeah. But, like, at the same time, even though I was kind of confident of me talking to him would convince him, I still had my backup just in case.
Yeah.
But I at the same time, I was talking to someone else, making sure there's backup. And, like, you know, like, this guy has to be there in case this guy doesn't show up and et cetera.
Yeah.
So, like, you want to be safe on all sides, but yeah, everything, alhamdulillah, ended up working out very well, and the campaign was amazing.
No, but my question was a bit away from that. It was more of like, because, okay, I'll be a bit more real with the whole, so I don't know about the gaming world influencers, let's say. I know of the other side, which is like the beauty, the lifestyle, the everybody's like, oh, I have numbers, like, and like just walk all over everyone, you know what I mean? not a lot of them, but they're there. So my question was, is there
a drama?
Yeah. Have you ever had anything?
Just like every other industry, I'm sure there's like there's the good ones and there's the bad ones. We've had like few.
But do you have similarities? That's what I mean. Because like this
Oh yeah, definitely. There are the gamers who are completely toxic. They think they're the best. Oh, like, oh, you talk to me. Oh, what are you? Only like there's someone who is a manager here, and he only answers like good numbers. You know, if your number is 1, 2, 2, 2, 3, 4, 4, 4.
Yeah.
You know? He would not answer any random number, and I'm like, bro, like, chill. It's just people are trying to give you a job. Don't think like that, you know. And I feel like this is kind of extreme. Just be yourself, be modest. Always, like, for me, I always take anything.
Yeah.
I'll like entertain the guy. I'll listen to him. I'll hear what he has to say. If I like it, I'll go for it. If I don't like it, I'll either pass it to someone else or I'll just kindly reject. Like, hey, bro, I appreciate your project, but it won't work out with us or something. And yeah, that's how it works. Even for me as a creator, this is the exact same conversation I would have. So if a brand contacts me and they're like, hey, we want you to do this, and I go like, okay, fine, tell me more details, and tell me the detail, and I kind of don't agree with the terms, I'll give them like an alternate like offer, and if they're happy with it, then by all means, let's go ahead. And if not, we'll just like, I'll be like, well, do you have anything else to offer? And if they give me something, I'm usually flexible. So yeah, I guess it's about flexibility. If you put restrictions and limits to yourself, I think that's you blocking. I'm like laughing away from you. So just take everything. If it's yours to take, then by all means.
Yeah, okay. And where did it start with the, when did you become, or when did you think that it's time for you to begin your content creator journey?
Way before. So like, I was actually just talking about it in the office today. The first time I was ever online was You Now. I don't know if you know it. It was like a broadcasting.
That sounds familiar.
It was the green logo. So at that time, people used to go on live and like it made a couple of big people on YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm.
I used to go in and play games because I was shy to show my face at that time. And I didn't have like a nice setup and stuff. So I used to play RuneScape on You Now.
Okay.
And then years later, Twitch became a thing.
I think I remember the one where you make a character and like big bubbly head.
No, that's IMVU. That's different. But I'm kidding, by the way. It's basically a 3D world, but.
Okay.
Anyway, so You Now is basically a broadcasting thing. It's still on, by the way. It's still a thing, but like it's not as popular as it used to be. Now, I think the popular one is like Omegle. Like it used to be like Omegle.
Yeah.
So same similar logic, but then
isn't that still banned here?
But in the way, everything's banned.
Okay. Yeah.
Shout out to Salat and Du for protecting young children. Oops.
Yeah.
No haram. Anyway, so
and then
Twitch became a thing later.
Yeah.
And this is where kind of started. So I used to be more of a viewer than a creator on Twitch for a long time.
Because this is where I am.
And you can change that, you know. So I used to like view a lot, and this kind of helped me as I grew towards being a creator, because I kind of learned from everyone's mistake, what not to do, how to do things, how to do my overlays. So when I decided and took the decision to like, okay, I'm gonna start creating, it was just a matter of like switch buttons, easy to do. I already knew what camera to get, what setup to do, what equipment I need, how to do the overlays. It was all ready for me, and I just started. And since then, I didn't stop until I decided to stop. So, like, I was consistent every day, 18 hours, because it was COVID time, and I had nothing else to do. Our company shut down towards COVID, and then this is where I decided I want to do full-time streaming, 18 hours, every single day. So I used to, like, do coding tutorials on there, my show, Be Positive Show, gaming. There were months also where, like, I would play a new game every single day. So, like, I had the August new game, and then I would, like, literally play a new game, completely finish a game in like a day. And then I would have like maybe community days, Sunday fun day, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was all cool. It was very nice. My Discord used to be very full. Like I'd have like rooms of Among Us, rooms of League, rooms of Valorant.
Yeah. I remember Among Us came out as well.
Every single like the cool thing about it is that it was accessible to the mobiles and stuff.
Yeah, cross platform. Was it?
But what I wanted to say is that even non-gamers were able to play it.
That was the cool part. Like, I would have people who have nothing to do with gaming, and they're like, oh, Among Us, let's go. Like,
yeah.
It was pretty cool. And yeah, until I ended up getting, like, a full-time job, that's where, like, my parents are like, okay, you sit home every day, move, you know, do something. So I applied for a job, got it. That was fun. And then I moved back. But yeah, I'm like, I'm happy I'm always going back to gaming. Again, I believe that you will always follow your passion, right? And I'm happy that I'm, like, in a balanced place where I'm kind of doing the business side of gaming. I'm still doing the creating side. I still game as, like, a hobby, and I like that. And I'm getting to try new things. So I don't stream as much just because it's very time-consuming. But I do, like, short-term content about gaming.
Do you have the setup ready? You just sit and, like, click a button?
Yes. So I still have my streaming setup. If I ever need to stream, it's always ready, right? But
this is the backup plan.
I mean,
full-time job fails.
Streaming, always.
Unless you go back to streaming. By
the way, streaming actually makes good money. I mean, I just want to kind of give the perspective here because a lot of people don't understand this. So it's not like you make millions immediately, but you make decent money. And don't get me wrong, when you're streaming, you're just at home. So you kind of don't have any expenses. So when I quit my job before COVID, I moved back. And I had zero, I wasn't paying rent, I wasn't paying for food because I was living with my parents again.
Yeah.
I was not paying, like, for anything. It was kind of all set for me. So my expenses were almost nothing.
Yeah.
And anything I gain on Twitch would be, like, revenue for me. And then I would kind of invest it back. So, like, I get, let's say, $500, right? I take $300, I'll put it in, like, a new camera. And then I have $200 for me or my parents, you know. And then, like, move on. This $500 will get me, like, another $300.
But how does it work? Like, why are you getting the money from?
Donations, subscriptions, nice people like you guys. Make sure you subscribe. Yeah, just general. I mean, at some point, even brand deals. So I was a part of a couple of esports teams in the region. So Lost Esports, Wells Esports. Some of them would pay salaries to content creators. It depends. Yeah. It depends on what aspect. So there's a lot of ways to make money in the gaming industry in general. You just have to see which one fits
better. Yeah, okay. So you said you're 27 and you graduated
so far.
2018. Since that time, it's a long time ago. Till today, you don't get to say that, by the way. I do. even though I'm 2 years older, but still. From the time you graduated till today, I want you to express how you felt about life going compared to, like, academic and practical.
Ooh, I like that. Also, Express is the name of the show. Just letting you guys know. Cool stuff. I would say very educational. Or let's just say motivating, right? So I love, like, if I ever had to go back in time and kind of see myself after graduating, I'll be like, nah. You do what you were planning to do, you know, like,
Stick to the plan.
No. Like, do exactly what you did, you know, like, go apply to JugEx, get
failed. Don't change whatever you did. Yeah.
Fail it, and then do the thing. Yeah, I feel like I learned a lot, right? Because, let me put it this way, every job, whether it was gaming related or not, kind of taught me something, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, some corporate jobs taught me discipline, how to, like, write emails, address well, things like that, you know?
Things schools don't teach you, by the way.
Definitely.
That's another topic we have coming up soon. Education.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like, financial literacy, emotional education, like, emotional intelligence.
Financial literacy is, like, that should be the number one subject of a school.
Definitely. And yeah, like, a lot of things. So I feel like if I just, and I see this, you know, like, you were mentioning what challenges are. A lot of the gamers start young, right? And they become famous young. So a lot of them jump into the real world where there's, like, contracts and businesses and things, and, like, those kids are kids, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, what is this big-ass document, like, I have to sign and stuff? And, like, they get into, like, contracts and brand deals and official stuff, and they never got to learn these things. They're just gamers at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, it's a kid playing
Valorant. Sitting in his room for hours, yeah.
So I feel like I kind of got the advantage of learning these things, which kind of put me on it. Like a higher level on in terms of, like, just knowing things in general.
No, right? And I think you have a spectrum of knowing how to deal with different people.
Definitely.
At this point. Because the gamers, it's not a kid's game. at the end of the day, like, games run through all of ages. So I think you got to learn how to deal with the kids, adult, like early adolescents.
Let's just call them like casual people, or like, let's say, corporate people.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, alhamdulillah, and that's a good thing. Obviously, it wasn't easy. I want to say, like, at some point in time, it was like hard to write emails, man. Like, you have to like regards and like, who cares about this stuff?
Yeah.
And then someone else is like, no, this is very important. I'm like, actually, yeah, it is very important. And you know what? You start. What I like is being accepting of other people's opinions and ideas, like being open-minded in general, kind of allows you to always learn better. So another advice you guys can take with you today is really understand things, you know, like Mustafa here. So like we were having a conversation earlier and he was telling me things. Like I learned a little bit about the industry thing. I learned about this whole setup he was doing. And like, you know,
It's basic not as glamorous as it looks like.
Guys, it's glamorous. It took him like 15 minutes to set it up. It's really cool, trust me. And like, I got to know like what a camera would do, how much it costs and stuff. Like, even though I knew this information, but like, it's an extra thing that I learned today that kind of helped me, right? And you know, just meeting new people in general, like, we're considered best friends, buddy. We know each other for like 10 minutes, you know? And yeah, just be open-minded and accept things the way they come to you. And you never know. Good. I feel like, if you allow goodness to come into your life, it automatically starts being good to you, you know?
And let me throw Ahmed under the bus for the getting to know you for the first time. He's like, who's your next guest? Or actually, I told him, I was like, guess who my next guest is? And I'm like, and then the thing is, like, I literally don't know your name. And I'm like, the guy who is a gamer, who's I don't know what. And he's like, Bibi? I'm like, I don't know. It's the guy that you keep mentioning and you're telling me that, like, he messaged me when I first started the podcast, and then like you keep bringing him up that I should bring him on, and I'm like, he messaged me and wanted to be on the show, and he's like, hold up, he's like, you're bringing a rando to your house.
I am here to, like,
but I'm all about like meeting people. I'm all about knowing. So I have, this is why I'm bringing different types of guests, because this is why I'm having you on the show, because I'm interested to know. I'm the type of person who looks at someone and wonders like far into like, what's their life like, how are they, what's their morning routine, what's their job like, are they corporate, are they freelance, are they, and you know, and it's in my head that I'll never get to live how they live.
Definitely. Expand of knowledge. I mean, and everyone has their own story.
Yeah, and it's good. It's nice and good to see how this person goes through their life, goes through different ups and downs, you know? And I think this is where it came to me to start this entire thing.
Espresso.
Yeah. And the thing, like, it doesn't satisfy, but it's good enough for me.
I mean, no, it's kind of very good.
Because for me,
You're underestimating what you're doing.
No, but for me, it's, I want to put myself in that person's shoe physically. I'm too extreme.
But I'm sure they appreciate it. What you're like, you're giving a platform to people to express themselves. I'm sure at some point.
This is the thing. When it first started, I was telling my co-host who couldn't be here today. I told him, I was like, this is basically free therapy after work for whoever wants it. You guys can hit us up and you're more than welcome to join us on the show. And one of the things I mentioned today to you is the friend that just watched Ahmed's episode. They had no relation to the episode. They don't read comics. They're not that interested in the topic. But what pulled them in is Ahmed's character.
Ahmed is a sweetheart. I love the guy. And thank you for the shout out, Albi.
So that's the thing. Like, this is what I want. I don't want it to be about the topic 100%. I want people to be attracted to see the types of people that I'm bringing in.
If you like what you see, 050. Just hit them up.
But yeah, so this is like where it caught me off guard today. Like, the guy saw me, I met up with him, and he's like, dude, the last episode, I did not relate to the comics, but I related to the childhood. I related to going with my dad to the VHS store. I related to, like, you get what I mean? Like, these are the things.
I love that.
And I related to that as well. That was when people lived here, they used to see Space Toad on TV. I was born and raised in Iraq up until the age of 7. And the only, looking back now, I know that I used to watch Space Toad through the VHS. That's we didn't true, have, actually. Yeah, we had one channel back in Iraq. Dude, it was like North Korea.
You record, I remember that.
So I was like, wait, the whole Sana'ud by the Khalil and like the whole in between shows thing that they do is, and the VHS shit that I used to watch. I used to watch Hazim Urrat.
Oh.
That was one of my favorite shows. Dude, I cried on the last episode.
Oh, I rewatched it, the anime version, by the way. That's how good it was.
I'm dead down to watch. I watched Hunter x Hunter. I mentioned that previously in an episode. I finished the entire thing, and I'm sad that it's not coming back anymore.
Like, it is. Surprise.
The thing is,
the writer started getting on his logic again and his kind of writing again.
Okay.
But
okay.
He needs a push. He's like,
okay.
So we might.
But that's the thing, like, I want to have a sense of relation. I don't want people to watch or listen to like go like, oh, this is an interesting topic, you know? Mm. I want them to like listen and relate. You get what I mean?
I think it's a very good source of validation as well. And like you hearing these things is kind of showing you that what you're doing is actually going out there and reaching people.
And I think even if it's like 10 people listening, I don't care. Let them listen. Let them enjoy. At the end of the day, I want them to enjoy more than me wanting, like, okay, numbers. Like,
it means, you know, 10 million, by the way, just saying it.
And the other thing is the story that you mentioned, you graduated, you applied. This is a story of most of the people here in UAE. You have the opportunities, but they will not always fit you.
True.
So one of the things you mentioned that you were going to go to the company that created the
RuneScape. Yeah.
And that was what, in the UK?
Yeah, Cambridge.
Yeah, so one of the things that didn't let you go is the visa.
Unfortunately.
So this is like the majority of the people in the UAE. Things have changed. UAE have managed to open a lot of doors for anyone who has even the residency visa.
Definitely.
Which is, at this point, might as well call it a citizenship.
To some extent.
Yeah. Some countries will let you in because you have a residence visa.
That's true.
So this is the thing. But looking back, most of the people started the same way you started.
Oh, definitely.
So
I think that's a standard, actually.
Yeah, so you graduated one thing, tried to get into it, didn't get into it, tried to do something else to live, you know? At some point, most of us worked to live rather than...
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which is not the ideal situation, but I mean, it is...
Yeah,
It's hard now, it's hard. Industries are hard, getting a job is hard, so...
Yeah, so most of us, most of our generation, especially as well, 90s and after... They go through this zigzag in their life. Definitely. Where they jump between jobs until they settle for one. And then they think this is the one, you know what I mean?
Until they find the other one.
But this is what I want. I want people to relate to your story. I want people to know what happened to you and how things went through.
So like I said, I've going back a little bit further, I could have rejected that job, right? I was happy in my previous company. I could have just been like, I'm not in my comfort zone. I am in my comfort zone. Maybe if going out, it will kind of like cause a chaos. What if I'm not good enough? Because again, guys, I was going to something I'm passionate about, but I was also going to something new to me, right? And I think, like, going back to my previous point is keep an open mind. Do what makes you happy. End of the day, the opportunities will come, right? Sometimes I know a lot of people who come to me and they're like, BB, help us with the CV. BB, we're not getting the jobs we need. And I keep telling them, keep trying. I promise you guys, like, I've seen so many people, like literally countless. They would come and tell me, hey, we have no chance. I'm planning to move countries and ta-ta-ta. And now they're like doing something that they really love. They enjoy it. It's just a matter of time. Sometimes we go through a phase that could be hard, but eventually it works out well. You just need to kind of accept the opportunities, see what is suitable for you. You know, don't jump into things just because. I think that's everyone's biggest mistake, is that they get a job and because they're working to live, they immediately accept whatever is on the shelf. Like, you know, it's like, oh, this is the first food. It could be like pet's food, but you'll take it anyway. And definitely not healthy for you. And I'm not saying like it will settle you. No, I'm saying it's damaging you.
Yeah.
Because then you're losing the skills that you gained in university. You're wasting time not building networks with the people who you really should be building networks with. And, you know, things like that is what kind of ruins it for you. And I think sometimes if you don't, if you have an opportunity, then even though you might need something at this point in time, take a look at it, think it well, and jump to the next one if it's not the right thing for you. That's what I did mainly. Like I said, I did reject a lot of jobs just because I don't see the end goal. So when I got Funko, I had a bigger offer somewhere else. And I think the manager at Funko knows that very well. I had a bigger salary, bigger opportunity, bigger position. But I know, like I knew back then deep down that me with Funko would have been more beneficial to me than mm-hmm. that job.
Yeah.
And this is why I accepted Funko, with the lower salary, with the lower
position. It wasn't about the money and the benefits for you.
Never, yeah. never. It was about the end goal. Am I benefiting out of this? And like I said, eventually, while I was working in Funko, I realized that, oh, gaming is the thing for me. So like, I love this, but eventually I moved to the thing that is really thing. Like, and going back to the main point again, imagine if I took that job, I would have been completely far, because the way I got that gaming job was I got scouted by a friend.
Yeah.
So if I never did the Funko part, I would have probably never met the person who would have done this, who would have done this, who would have done this. Yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is how it all worked out.
Everything just fell into place.
Not necessarily fell into place, but yeah, it went through, like, the exact part. So it went to a zigzag, but eventually it was going. Yeah. So we don't stop at your place. But let it go. And I think that's the beauty of life. Not everyone would have the same story as you. Everyone have a unique story, and everyone has something to share that's technically their own, you know? Yeah. And I like that. I love that, you know, wherever you go, there's always like an interesting story that you kind of want to learn as well. And that's what Express is all about.
Pretty much. So we're coming to a conclusion. We asked this to a couple of our guests, not everyone. What's an unpopular opinion that you have that you like get called out on it? For example, a couple of times where you stated it and it was like people went completely the opposite direction.
Something in this topic or just random, completely random?
Something, let's say something you live by or something you work by.
I'm not sure if I can say it here. No, I'll think of something else. I'll tell you after the show. And if you guys are interested, DM me. Okay. So it's very unpopular, but I think people eventually realize there's some sort of truth in it. I believe that it's not about collecting money. It's not about collecting fame. It's not about collecting power. It's about collecting a group of people who would be very supportive to you. So, like, rather than investing in money, or rather than investing in, like, businesses or crypto or whatever, invest in people. Because at the end of the day, people make everything happen. So if you invest in the right people, these guys will be the best return of investment to you. And that's an unpopular opinion. That eventually works out.
Damn, that was very deep. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is Expresso Podcast.
See you next time. See you, bye-bye.